Thank you. You can be seated. I appreciate it. I appreciate it, but most of you, you're hollering for me. You don't even know who I am, okay? And that's okay. Let's preach for him, okay? And one of the things that you don't really think about when you're sitting out here and you're involved in college is that someday maybe you'll stand up here and speak to someone. And I'm thankful for all those that were faithful. I think of many of the staff members that have been faithful over decades. And many of you, if you're not careful, you'll not realize the wisdom contained in the staff at the college and the sacrifices they're making for you. And please don't ever overlook them. They are servants of God. And you can learn invaluable information that will help you in the ministry. This afternoon, I'm not going to try to reteach anything or become somebody that preaches a message that is a sugar stick, so to speak, message to get you all wound up. I think it's good to be wound up about God's Word, but I think all of God's Word is important. Since I was called and asked to preach, I have one desire, and that's to help you. You don't know what's in front of you. You don't understand fully what the ministry is. You have dreams, you have desires. And they don't always turn out just like you think. And I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm trying to help ground you in reality just a little bit. Ministry's tough. And if we're not careful, we glorify it and deify ministry. But you understand, we're called to suffer. Jesus Christ, when He came, He had the attention until He preached doctrine, and then many left. And some of you sitting here, it's been about 30 years since I sat here. I think the class we came, and I think I came about the same time, I'm not sure of the exact year, there was about 660 freshman students that came the year that I was here. And I had an opportunity to speak in homiletics class this morning, and I was telling them I lived on Rice 3 all 3 years that I was here in college, and we had six men in the room the whole time. Not talking about the end room, I'm talking about one of the small rooms, and it was different. It was intensive. It was helpful. But I think of how many have fallen to the wayside since then. Many of them are no longer in the ministry. Many of them are no longer married. Many of them had dreams and visions like you all have of serving God in this big way. And when life didn't happen like the dream that they had in their mind, they got discouraged. They got defeated. They got sidetracked. In many cases, their lives were destroyed. I want to challenge you this morning on something I think is very important. It's very simple. It's not going to teach you something new, but it's going to remind you of something needed. So this morning, I just ask that you really listen. And don't listen with your head. Listen with your heart. One thing that you can be, and any one of us can be, and my desire to have been out in the ministry is this, to be faithful. You don't have to be talented to be faithful. You just have to keep going. And I just want to encourage you, look in your Bible in Psalm 63. We're going to read the whole chapter. The good news is the chapter is just a few amount of verses. The Bible says in Psalm 63, verse 1, O God, Thou art my God, early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and thirsty land, where no water is. To see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. Because Thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Every one that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. In Psalm 63, if you have a little note at the top of your Bible, you'll probably say something like this, a Psalm of David, when he was in the wilderness of Judah. I want you to think about that and keep the context of this scripture in mind. But today I want to speak on how to make God my God. How to make God my God. Many of you right here, right now, you're here because somebody encouraged you to come. Some of you are here because your parents said, I want you to go for a year. Your pastor said, I want you to go to Bible college a year. Some of you are here because you felt the pressure from your church family that you should go in the ministry. And if you're not careful, you're here for the wrong reason. And I'm not saying it's wrong to be here. I'm saying our heart's not always like it's supposed to be. We get busy when you come to college and you work full-time jobs, in many cases, long hours. You full-time classes, and you have to get up early, get to class, and that's hard for some of us. Then you, on the weekend, are busy in ministries. But many of you are serving a God that you really don't know. You're serving a God and you're busy doing good, but not doing it for the Lord. I want to encourage you how to make God my God. This Psalm of David is from his youth. It was before his kinghood. And before the meteoric rise in importance and in influence. This is before he had that name. Oh yes, I believe he had already slain Goliath and he was being praised for that character, that courage, that great victory. But he wasn't necessarily the well-known name when it comes to the idea of being king. And as we look at this, David expresses that he made a choice. David gave God himself. In Psalm 63, verse 1, it starts, O God, thou art my God. Thou art my God. What it means is David allowed him, or God, complete control. Some of you right now are allowing God control of most of your life. But your phone history shows a little different. Internet history. Listen, you can get around the rules. We know it happens. It's a fact of life. Your music on your radio in your car shows a different God that's important to you. Oh yes, you're giving him service, but you're not giving him yourself. And I could go through a lot of different things, and let me say the Holy Spirit of God is a lot better than me in mentioning every single thing that you struggle with. David gave himself as a living sacrifice. Now, as Brother Mitchell said, when I came to college, I had a nursing degree. I had an honors scholarship to go to a private college. I paid $2,000 for a private college education, and they basically paid me to be there. I worked on as a lab assistant for one of our teachers. I had the keys to his lab, made all different kinds of chemical compositions that he needed for each of his labs, even the classes I didn't take. I got paid by the college to meet the new freshman student coming in and to give them an idea what college life would be. At one point, I sat with the dean of nursing, and she said, listen, we want you to go work 5 years, come back and teach. Now listen, I thought I had everything squared away. And I was raised in church. I knew the Lord. Active in our church ministries. But the world influences you. And I was sliding away from God even while being faithful to church. And I realized I was really playing church. Everybody else thought I was the, you know, that spiritual kid in the church. Some of the people in the church even made statements like this, and it was within earshot of me. I'm not making it up. Why can't you be like him? In fact, a young man that came to this college and pastors right now was in my Sunday school class when I was teaching Sunday school, and he said a large reason why he went in the ministry is because of the influence that I left there at the church. Now listen, I'm not tooting my horn. I'm saying in all that, my heart was far from God. And God broke my heart 3 months before I was going to graduate. And as I approached that graduation, when God broke my heart, I told my mom, I'm going to quit. I'm going to go up to Hiles Anderson College. I knew exactly where God wanted me to go. It was the place I last wanted to go. My mom said, listen, even if you quit right now and you go up there, you can't get into college. Finish and then go up there. So I graduated in May. The very next week, I drove up here. We had family and friends that lived in this area, and I looked to get a job and then be here at the school. When I came to college, I wasn't in all the games. See, I played a lot the first 4 years of college, and I had a great GPA. Kept all my scholarships, had a good name at that college, except for this. For about 4 years, most of the people on college, they knew I went to church. They knew I didn't drink. They knew I didn't get involved in a lot of wicked stuff. But yet, I wasn't what I was supposed to be. And I'll be honest with you, we read Ezekiel 33, there's a lot of blood on my hands. About every year, 3,000 students, and me not being the witness I was supposed to be. There's going to be some people that are honestly going to be able to point their finger at me and say, you didn't tell me. And I didn't. Oh, I didn't go to the parties with them, and I didn't drink with them. I just didn't do what God called me to do as a Christian. See, I was making a choice. God broke my heart. I came up here. And because I came from a secular school, I had to go for 4 years for my master's degree. And I'll tell you, it was hard for me as a 21-year-old with a college degree to come into the dorms and to subject myself to the rules of the dorms. And I was talking, I think, with Brother King, and I'll be honest with you, back in that day, and I think they call them points now, they call them demerits, offenses. There was never a time that, thankfully, that I had to dig a ditch, that I had to move wood, because I was here with a purpose. There was a God that I was responsible to. When God broke my heart, I was understanding that so often in my own life, every time I chose my way over His way, and this is how God put it in my mind, it was like me spitting on the cross, saying it wasn't worth it. Oh, you're good enough to save me, but you're not good enough for me to live for you. You see, David had a heart for God, and David made a choice at a young age that I'm going to serve you, and today you too have a choice before you. Will you make Him yours? Listen, it doesn't matter if your mom and dad are spiritual. It really doesn't matter if your teachers are spiritual, your bus captain is spiritual. It matters what are you. Who is God to you? Young David here lays out a four-step plan, I believe, on how God becomes my God in one of our lives. And so this answers the question, how can I make God my God? See, we talk about it, and some of you, you sit there, and I think of when my wife and I were dating, and Brother Mitchell was a little bit wrong. She used to be Rebecca McCarroll, but there's something that happened when we got married. She took on my name. I feel bad for her. But she took on my name, and it's now Rebecca Ellis. And we were laughing about it a few minutes ago. And I said, well, I can introduce him and his wife, Miss Sarah Beaver. You know, I could do that, you know. But I think of when my wife and I started dating, her division leader and her bus captain came up to me in chapel. And it was about this area right here. And he walked up to me and he said, who's the Holy Spirit to you? Now, some of you might have had an answer for that. You know, I was taught to be honest. I said, I have no idea what you're asking me. What are you asking me? And he said, is the Holy Spirit your friend? And that was such a good question. Some of you in this room, you don't know who the Holy Spirit of God is. You talk about him, but we act like he doesn't really exist. And I want to help you because that question, how can I make God my God, is an important question that each of us have to answer. You won't be faithful 30 years from now if you don't have a personal relationship with God. I didn't say that you won't be saved. I said you won't be faithful serving God in the ministry. How can we do it? In Psalms 63 and verse 1, the Bible says, O God, thou art my God. And I want you to notice the next phrase, early will I seek thee. Early will I seek thee. And yesterday was a big day for me. This week's been a big week for me. I never saw myself standing up here preaching in chapel. I never asked for it. And when I was asked to do it, I'll be honest with you, I was shocked. I'm very honored. And I've been asking people to pray for weeks because to stand here is a big thing, not a little thing. If I can help one of you, it's worth me being here. And I think about this. We now have a grandbaby, very first one, and it's exciting. Got to hold them in the hospital yesterday before we came this way. And as our son was getting ready to have the baby and our daughter-in-law was getting ready to have the baby, I remember all those years and all that time that I prayed for my son that he would get saved at a young age. And that God would keep him from sin. And that God would take his life and use it in a big way. And he's on staff. He's our song leader. He's our youth ministry leader. And I mean, he wears many hats. We're holding that grandbaby. I'll have the same prayer for that grandbaby. That early, early will he seek God. Now listen, David, as a prayer of his to have a my God, said, early will I seek thee. And I want to encourage you to start your life right. You see, many of you in this room, you've been here for just a few years after you got out of high school. You didn't have a deviant path like I did. Now listen, everything went well and the world wanted me really bad. But my God desired me too. And God had to break me to get me here. And I think 4 years. Now when I was here and as I worked on staff as an assistant, my pastor had me work as a nurse, and well, I'll tell you, it makes good money. It helped me a lot of ways. That was 4 years I could have been serving him faithfully. I can't go back and change it. You have an opportunity, many of you, you came right here out of high school. Seek him right now. Seek him right now. Don't be content to graduate or to be here for a couple years and to be content with knowing about God. Know who He is personally. And when we think about this, start your life right. Listen, and it's great to start right, but let me just say, finish right too. At a young age, get all the way in. At a young age, give yourself to Him. And that is what David did. We study the life of David. It's shown so clearly in the Scriptures that from a young man up, he just gave himself to the Lord, wrote songs about the Lord, praised God, saw God work in miraculous ways in his life. And by the way, the same God David has, same God you have. God doesn't love David any more than He loves you. You're special to Him. Seek Him early. Start your life right. Don't get sidetracked. Some of you need to put aside those things that you're doing that maybe nobody else knows. Get rid of it. Let God have first place and the only place. You ever heard that idea, fellows, when it comes to sports? There's first place and everything else is last place. Listen, if you give God the preeminence, that means you give Him first place in all things. Seek Him early. That's for our life. But in your day, seek Him early. Start your mornings right. Did you read your Bible this morning? I didn't ask, did you read your Bible in class? I asked, did you walk with God this morning? There was a God in heaven that gave you a book that tells you He loves you, and many of you didn't even open it up this morning. We get so busy serving, working, being busy, that we don't even have time for the God of heaven. And He wanted to speak to you this morning. Before you're distracted and discouraged and defeated and destroyed, you're getting back those tests, those quizzes that maybe you didn't study enough for. Start your day right. Start your morning right. As a question, how late will you wait till you turn to Him? Are you going to get serious about God when you graduate? Listen, when I got that degree, and by the way, I didn't graduate from Hiles Anderson College. I graduated as a master's student from Hiles Anderson Seminary. Okay? That diploma, when it came into my hand, I didn't have a special dispensation of knowledge and faithfulness. It was a piece of paper with ink on it. I had to continue to make a choice. Would I seek God early every day? I was telling the fellows in homiletics class, I went out to eat with Brother King last night, and he mentioned that Brother Judah wasn't going to be here and that Brother Judah had asked for him to speak or to teach the class, and he said, would you be interested? And I've been struggling just the idea of the sacredness of preaching to young godly people seeking to serve God, that I really didn't want to add something to my plate. But last night I stayed up to 1:30 because I felt like if it was asked, why wouldn't I? And last night I didn't sleep as well as I'd like because I wanted to be ready. When I got up this morning early, I took time to read God's Word for myself. God had something for me this morning. And even though I'm tired, even though I'm concerned to do things to bless God, to be what God wants me to be, I still need to walk with Him. Seek Him early. As young David continued to lay out that four-step plan, we have to seek Him early. But number two, we find in verse 2, it says, to see Thy power and Thy glory, so as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary. I believe you have to see Him privately. See Him privately. That means, as we've already alluded to a little bit, you need to spend time with Him. I wonder how many of you have asked God, God, what do you want for me today? God, I'm available to you today. Some of you in here, you don't know how powerful your kind word is to another discouraged student. You don't know how important it is as you go into that class. You don't know the burdens that teacher has. We have a new staff member that's come on at our school. As she's come on at our school, it's been revealed to her that there's devastation going on to her family. I can't tell you how many times as my wife and I have talked with her during the day, in the morning, in the afternoon, after school's over, that she just begins to weep. Spend time with God, allowing Him to show you what He wants from you. When was the last time God impressed you to do something for someone? See, if you're not careful, you're so busy, I got to do this and I've got to do this, and so rigid in your schedule of things you have to do that you miss the things that you get to do because you're a child of His. Spend time with Him. What's important about that? We alluded to some of it, listening to Him. Listen, some of you, your conversation with God is like a Christmas list of a child. Gimme, 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 gimme. I want, I want, I want. When was the last time you just listened to God? I'm talking about taking your Bible and not reading it to sign a sheet saying I read through the Old Testament or the New Testament or I read through it for a Bible class. But I read through it, and I read my Bible this morning so that God would speak to me. Are you listening to God? How often do you speak to Him? Once again, not just the give me list. When have you prayed for your teachers? When was the last time you prayed for the president and our government officials in this nation? Hey, we're going a long way the wrong way. And we complain about it if we're not careful as a Christian. Oh, it used to be a Christian nation, and now look at where we are. But yet you're not even praying for them. You're not even seeking to influence for the cause of Christ. When was the last time you prayed for somebody on your bus route? And I'm not just talking about, oh, that they live right, but I'm talking about the things that they're struggling with and dealing with that you know. When have you communicated that to others that you're praying for? This morning, God was waiting for you to open His book so He could speak to you. This morning, God was waiting to hear what was on your heart. But if we're not careful, so many of us, we get into that situation where it's just a vain repetition. Oh, dear Lord, help me today. Help me do well on my tests and quizzes. Help me to not be tired. Help me to do this. Help me to do that. And it's the same thing we pray every day. It's not from our heart. We're as Catholic as some Catholics are in their prayer. We might as well just write it out on a piece of paper and read it, because that's all we're doing is saying the same thing over and over and over again. There's no heart to it. Spend time with Him. Share what He has revealed to you. Some of you in here, all you talk about, fellas, is sports. Ladies, I have no idea what you talk about. Okay. My wife maybe can figure it out, but you know, you talk about maybe all the fellas and how they smell and how they, you know, did you see him today? No, whatever it is, I don't know. But let's be honest. We'll talk about everything that's going on in the world, except for the most precious thing. I want to ask you, when was the last time you talked with anybody about what God showed you in your Bible reading? Wait a second. If you don't read your Bible, you can't tell somebody about what you read in your Bible. If you don't pray, you can't talk about the answered prayers. One of the special memories from being in Bible college is I had a friend and he didn't have enough money. I was working as a nurse. I had enough money to pay my school bill. He didn't. So we went off in, what is it called, the Roloff Park. There used to be his plane out there. Now, I was old enough, I got to hear Lester Roloff preach. But so me and two other fellows went out. We went by Brother Roloff's plane. We prayed for that young man to get money to pay a school bill. And surprise of all surprises, God answered. Some of you have no stories like that of God doing something great in your life because you haven't asked Him for something great. You've trusted your means, your abilities. When was the last time you were with Him? The four-step plan, seek Him early. Number two, see Him privately. Number three, salute Him publicly. The Bible says, because thy loving kindness is better than life, notice this, my lips shall praise thee. Verse 4, thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Verse 5, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. How often do you speak openly of what God is doing for you? Listen, how can we speak openly of Him? Sometimes it's singing. The happiest Christian I know is a man that didn't get saved till he's in his mid-50s. He was my youth pastor. He had been a Catholic. And everywhere he went, he was whistling, he was singing, he was smiling. When I came to Bible college, he got cancer. 3 months later, he was in heaven with his Savior. Happiest man I knew. They just loved the Lord. And you knew it because you heard it. Now listen, I think it's important to sing in church. I think it's important to sing on a platform like the special music. I think it's important to sing on the bus route. I think it's important to sing in the Sunday school class. But what about your workplace? Are you singing the music that's going on around you? What melody is flowing through you? Speak openly of Him. Sing. Witness. Talk to others about Him. Listen, I worked at a nursing home in Valparaiso. Nobody else from the college worked there. And as I worked there, I would take time in my break time and I would read my Bible, and I was able to lead several co-workers to the Lord simply because I had my Bible out. There were some of those people that were, many of them were Lutherans there in Valparaiso, and they would have never let me knock on their door and come in and talk to them about the Word of God. But because I cared for them, they saw that I had a heart for them. They saw that I was good to them. I had opportunities to witness to them. In many cases, I was able to witness to them a couple weeks before they passed away into eternity. Now listen, I did not do it on works time. It doesn't mean I never mentioned God, but I would go in my break time. I would go in after I clocked out to witness to some of these people that God gave divine appointments to. Wonder who's going to get saved at your workplace because of how you publicly salute God. Or all they hear about how rough school is, how tired you are, how hard it is. Can I tell you, when you get in the ministry, it's not easier? It's hard work. When you're dealing with people, it's messy. Salute Him publicly. Speak openly of Him. Share with what He's done for you. Listen, is your life renewed? Were you born again? Is that not good enough for you? If that's all you got a lot. What about that changed life? How things are all new for you? What about, like I said, answered prayer? When was the last time you openly praised Him or bragged on God? Seek Him early. See Him privately. Salute Him publicly. The fourth step is savor Him nightly. The Bible says in verse 6, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. When was the last time all you could think about is what God's done for you? I'm serious. Some of you come back and all you do is sleep. You're kind of like Jonah. Sleeping when you're supposed to be working. And I'm not attacking you. Hey, it's tiring. I remember in Bible college, Church Ed, we had the wonderful opportunity to watch Brother Hiles' morning service on Mondays with the lights off in the chapel. The biggest problem was I was already in the morning service on Sunday. And it was hard to stay awake sometimes. I mean, seriously, it was hard. We were tired. We worked hard. But some of us, instead of thinking about God, we just serve Him. We don't realize what God is trying to do in our lives. We don't enjoy God's touch upon our hearts. We don't enjoy how much God actually loves us and has blessings for us and has benefits for us that are all ours. We just get tired. We get weary in well-doing. You need to search for His hand in your life. In verse 8, it says, "My soul falleth hard after thee." Listen, when was the last time you actively thought about God? Search for His hand in your life. See, the problem is you don't think God has any fingerprints on you, but you have no idea what God's doing with your life. Several years ago, God blessed us with our first child, and it was a wonderful blessing. We were excited about it. And then the second child came, and my wife was carrying that child, and we went to the same place, the doctors, and they said, "We don't hear a heartbeat. You need to go to the hospital." And I remember the exact same corridor that we went down, and the room right over here, we had Keith, and it was a wonderful blessing. We went to the room straight ahead in that same hallway where people were rejoicing because there were children being born. We went through a whole birthing procedure, and we knew the baby was dead. And I'll be honest, the first thing was, "God, is there sin in my life? God, why? There's so many people that don't even want their kids and won't even raise them right. We love them. We would raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord like you ask us to. We would pour our hearts in them. We would pray for them. Why would you do this, God?" I didn't find out till a little bit later, as we had more children, God opened doors of opportunity for ministry through that. Listen, it's one thing when you have all your kids and somebody goes through a miscarriage or loses a child to say, "Oh, we're praying for you." It's another thing to know all the emotions and all the pain and all the hardships with it. Listen, telling somebody like that one time that you're praying for them doesn't cover it, because they're hurting forever with that. They're longing for that child. You have to search for His hand in your life. And sometimes you have to stop trying to see it your way and to see it His way. I like what Joseph said in Genesis. "Ye meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." How many times we think God is being unfair with us when all God's doing is trying to use us like we've asked Him to. And we're blind and we miss it. Search for His hand in your life. See His blessings and benefits blossom in your life. When was the last time you refocused and reviewed your day, you reviewed your life, and thought about Him and His goodness to you? I like what the Bible says in Psalms 34, verse 8. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." When you launch and you fully launch this and implement this plan in your life, you will find that you have a God that's your God. And I tell you, almost 30 years in the ministry, and it's not because I've got a college degree from Hiles Anderson College. It's because I have a God that I can go to at all time. Do you? You know Him? Do you have a desire to know Him? Do you have a desire to serve Him, not just for a few years, but for your whole life? seek him early, see him privately, salute him publicly, and savor him nightly. That's David's plan, and it worked pretty well for him. It'll work for you too. You bow your heads, close your eyes. Lord, thank you for the few minutes that I had to speak. I know this was the message you wanted me to speak. I don't know why, but I pray, Lord, that it will help one. Help us to love you, serve you, seek you, make a difference. Help us to be faithful. Please work in us and among us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.